Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy. I decided on today's topic because unfortunately, this is a trap that I fell into for many, many years. And it led to a lot of anxiety, a lot of just feeling very alone, very empty inside, and struggling with my own relationship with myself. I allowed a lot more mistreatment from my mother than I would have accepted from anyone else in my life. And it wasn't even so overtly mistreatment, I guess I would say. It was more of neglect is what it was. And I never would have maintained a friendship with anyone who behaved in this way, who, you know, could only listen to two or three sentences out of my mouth before they were off on their own needs, or someone who only ever called me when they needed something. You know, it was not a two-way street. It was very much a one-way street. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but it's not even just about getting the apology, right? I'm sure a lot of you wait for that as well, or think that, I mean, it's almost like you keep thinking, if I just explain what she said or what she did that was so hurtful, if I explain it good enough, that she'll say that she's sorry, that she'll understand. But if you're waiting for your mother to finally say, I'm sorry, you're going to be waiting a lifetime. And that wait, that expectation is part of what is keeping you stuck. And I'm not only going to be talking about apologies today. So you're like, oh, I don't need to listen to this. I know my mom will never apologize. It isn't just about the apology. It is also about constant and relentless neglect, abusive or harmful behavior, coupled with gaslighting, playing the victim, being defensive, deflecting, refusing to change, refusing to take accountability. And then you keep having this expectation that someday your mom will understand you, someday that, you know, the relationship will be different, or somehow she'll respond in a different way. And it just, that day never comes. And this is where this trap happens. And it's interesting because I don't know that I would have recognized it myself when I was in the middle of it until I finally woke up and was like, oh my goodness, this is why I keep banging my head against the wall, because I keep expecting a different result from this person that I'm never going to get a different result from, because it's impossible. So stay tuned, because we're not only going to be talking about apologies. Yes, we will be talking about that, but it's almost like the apology aspect of this is just so intertwined with the entire experience of an emotionally immature mom. And so that's why that's the title of this, and we are focusing somewhat in that direction, but you'll see how this just weaves into the entire relationship that you have with her. So let's first start off with why she's never going to apologize to you. Well, first of all, apologies require accountability. And emotionally immature or narcissistic moms, wherever she falls on that spectrum, it doesn't really matter. They see accountability as a threat to their ego. So they create, and when I say ego, I'm talking about this fantasy version of themselves they've created in their own head. It threatens this fragile fantasy ego that she's created. And in fact, it's important for you to realize that a threat to this fantasy ego can feel like a life or death situation to them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But really, it can feel like a life or death situation to them when that fragile fantasy ego is threatened. Like this idea that they've done something wrong or they've harmed someone, they cannot handle the thought of it. Psychologically, this is annihilation anxiety. So this terror that admitting fault will collapse the self. And in a sense, it will. Because she's created this fantasy, grandiose version of herself where she is so benevolent and she's so good, and admitting that she said something hurtful to you or whatever, there is an absolute terror that this collapses that themselves because they identify with the false fantasy ego, not the real person that they are, right? And a lot of times this comes from early attachment wounds. And I want to say right up front before I even mention this, that so we may understand where behavior comes from, but that does not excuse the behavior. So when I talk about early trauma or early issues that may have led to your mother behaving in this way, creating this false ego, becoming emotionally immature, whatever it is, does not excuse the behavior, okay? There are a lot of people that had childhood trauma that do not end up this way, do not treat people this way, who grow up, who mature, who whatever. So I'm not saying that this is any excuse for how you've been treated, because it absolutely is not. But I want you to understand where this does come from. So this may come from early attachment wounds. I'm not going to get into all the reasons for that, but there's a lot of them, even starting from infancy. Chronic shame, potentially abuse or other traumatic experiences that caused her to build this false self, this polished good girl identity that she created in order to survive, literally like mentally survive that whatever it was that she went through. And then, and I'm going to give you an example of how this works so you can understand a little bit more why this kind of results in this behavior. But then, so she creates this fantasy ego, this fantasy self, right? And this becomes hardwired through years of defensiveness. So the refusal to self-reflect or look at themselves and say, look at a mistake and be able to reflect and think, oh, maybe I should change this. Maybe I should do this better. Maybe I shouldn't yell at people. Maybe I, whatever, right? Usually it's denial, minimization of what happened, projection on other people, or Darvo, where I'm sure you've heard of that term a lot, but essentially it just ends up them becoming the victim. The end of it is reverse victim and offender. So if she's hurt you, you bring something up, she reverses it, plays the victim, and now you're the villain in the story. That's part of that Darvo situation, right? And I'm not going to explain all of that because that's not the point of this. But a lot of this defensiveness, denial, deflecting, which is another part of Darvo, right? So any request for accountability pierces that shell, that ego, that fantasy. And it creates an unbearable cognitive dissonance. Because she can't accept that she did something wrong and maintain the fantasy ego, because the fantasy ego is perfect. It's the good girl. It never does anything wrong. So what happens is they also create this very black and white thinking. So she looks at herself as either I'm good or I harmed you, but she doesn't see it that both could be true at the same time. You can be a good person and say something hurtful to someone. Both of those could be true. It doesn't make you a bad person. But in her brain, those two cannot coexist. And so she doesn't have the capacity to see that she could have hurt you and still be a good person. So in order to reduce the pain that that causes inside of her, to think, oh my goodness, I'm a terrible person, I'm a bad person, it's shattering this ego, right? She's going to deflect. She's going to attack. Again, Darvo, right? She's going to rewrite the story to maintain that false perfect self. So this is where you get the gaslighting. That didn't happen. I never said that. My mom would always say, I would never do something like that. I'm not that kind of person. Because in her mind, this false self, the kind of person she thinks she is, would not say that thing or do that thing. That's the false self. And despite the fact that this is a trauma response, I said this before, it does not make this behavior acceptable. But this is why you feel like you're banging your head against the wall every time you talk to your mom. Because she can't see it. Even if it just was a small little thing that she said something hurtful and it was just a little thing. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry I said that to you. She can't do that. And it can be really difficult for someone outside of her false ego, outside of her fantasy, to look at that and go, why can't you just accept that you said something hurtful and move on? But they really can't. It is life or death to them. But I want to say this very, very strongly, because this is key to remember. Trauma can explain behavior, but it doesn't excuse it. So again, emotional immaturity is marked by low self-awareness. So they're not, my mom is masterful at low self-awareness. They either have really difficult time with empathy, emotionally immature mom, or if you're moving into narcissism, it just isn't there. They don't have it. They have shame intolerance. So they can't accept that they do anything wrong, because they can't accept it. It's completely intolerable to them. And then that black and white thinking. So they can't see those two things being true at the same time. So it's very black and white. There's no middle ground. And you, interestingly, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but I've seen this with my mom in religious beliefs, where it's very black and white. Like, you're either like the most devout member of her religion, or you don't even worship Jesus. Like, if you don't go to her church and you're not a devout member of her church, you're not even Christian in her mind. Like, you play being Christian. I am not kidding you. And I remember when I left the religion that I grew up in, my mom literally told me that I was turning my back on Jesus. I was in ministry training, all of this, and yet my mom is telling me I'm turning my back on Jesus because I'm not a member of her church anymore. And I remember another couple that were friends with my parents years prior, my mom found out that they left the religion that my mom was in and they started going to a different Christian church down the street or whatever. And my mom literally said that the husband of this couple liked Christians too much. I was like, Mom, you believe in Jesus. Like, you're a Christian. Well, yeah, but like, we are the true Christians though. And I'm like, oh geez. But this is what you will get, right? This is just an example of that idea of like, I am right and everything else is bad or wrong and cannot be right. So emotionally immature, I know, tangents, but when you look at accountability with an emotionally immature mom, again, that requires that self-reflection. They can't do that. They don't do it. Then they would have to feel bad. Like, if I say something that hurts someone, I feel guilt. Like, I feel bad that I said that. Again, what did we talk about? Shame intolerance. We can't handle that. And then I would repair it. I would apologize. I am so sorry I said that to you. You did not deserve that. I should never speak to you that way. I am so sorry, right? That's what we would do. But these are skills that she has never developed. Self-reflection, you know, feeling guilt over harming someone, and then the repair, the apology. She does not, none of this is within her tool belt, okay? So this ability is not there. It's not going to change. They don't. An emotionally immature mom can, I hate to say that, but the likelihood that she will is almost zero. So I don't really like to even give that as an option to expect. But the problem is, if she self-reflects, the fantasy self is going to dissolve, because she's not perfect. None of us are. We've all said or done things that have harmed other people that we should not have done, that we feel guilty about. We've all done that. But if you live out of a false self, fantasy self, it's going to dissolve the minute that you reflect on yourself, because you're going to see all of your flaws. All of us have them, right? This threat to them is not minor. It's catastrophic. And that's where the difference is. And it is hard to understand them, because their behavior is so toxic and so abusive to other people, because they are so obsessed with maintaining their own fantasy ego. And one of the things that hit me so hard, and this happened to me the last time I talked to my mom, And I've been very open with you guys that I've been trying low contact, which, if I'm being honest with you, has been a disaster. I initially just thought my mom was emotionally immature, but the more that I tried to deal with her with a lot of the things that have gone on since I left the religion that I grew up in, I realized that it was worse than I thought. And what I found in this last one, my mom's whipping out scriptures and she's weaponizing them against me. And it just, what I realized, and I think you may come to this realization at some point if you haven't already, is that your mother will protect her fantasy ego at all costs, which will also end up being at the expense of you and a relationship with you. Your mother will choose to protect her fantasy ego rather than have a relationship with you. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And I've tried for years and years and years to maintain just this one-sided relationship with my mom. And I'm not going to get into all those details, but that one stings. So I'm going to give you kind of an example of how this fantasy ego can develop. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on my situation. And I don't want to go too much into it, but essentially, I was going to share a little bit more, but I'm not going to share my mom's entire story here. But basically, her parents got divorced. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but I will say they are horrific of why this divorce happened. And the problem with this situation was, and my mom was 11 years old when the divorce happened, and she believed that the divorce happened because she wasn't perfect enough. Now, the reality of this divorce was, though, that he did sign away parental rights, and they didn't have much contact with their dad after, and then eventually just really not much at all for most of my mom's life. It's been very, very, very minimal. And so it just, this belief, this core shame belief of that if I'm imperfect, I'm unlovable and people will abandon me. So this is the core belief that comes. And every emotionally immature person, wherever they are in the spectrum, comes up with some sort of belief. It's not all the same. And their circumstances are not the same either. But this core shame belief that they have about themselves, that imperfection is unacceptable. It may have just been parents that expected perfectionism and chronically shamed them and criticized them every time they did something. You know, you got an A minus in a class and they're shaming you. It can come out of all sorts of things, okay? But to keep abandonment at bay or to like be lovable, or to have people like you or not abandon you, they will cling to that perfection, that good girl persona, because that's where they think safety is. That's what makes them lovable. That's what makes them good. And it's interesting because the emotionally immature or narcissistic behavior that they develop out of this does just the exact opposite, but they can't see it. So to a woman, to a mother who is living out of this core shame belief that has resulted in them being emotionally stunted, an apology feels like admitting fault, which shatters the false ego, the fantasy ego of being the perfect good girl. Admitting that she had done something hurtful to you would confirm the very terror planted in their childhood. I'm flawed. Therefore, I'm unlovable, or I'll be abandoned, or whatever, right? This is why accountability feels so catastrophic to her. Because she has this belief that if I admit that I did something wrong, my whole world blows up. I'm unlovable. Nobody's going to want me. Everyone's going to abandon me. And this is another reason why they're so sensitive to feeling rejected. So as an adult, when a daughter says, it hurt me when you criticized my weight, for example, the mother, if she were to accept that, would go into a shame spiral. So it isn't just a, you know, self-reflection of like, oh, you know, and then apologize. You're right. I should not have criticized you that way. I shouldn't have talked about your weight. She can't do the shame. She can't do the guilt that she actually did that. And so she flips to defense. You're being too sensitive. I was just joking. I never said that, right? I know you felt this. So you're noticing what's happening is it's you are the problem. Now, I'm not the problem. You are too sensitive. I was just joking. You took it wrong. I never said that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that shield is up and everything you say is going to bounce off of it. Because owning harm, again, remember the black and white thinking means she's a bad mother. She's a bad person. She cannot go there. And so she already has a shame-based identity, right? Because whatever trauma it was that started creating this false ego, she can't tolerate any accepting anymore. So she denies, she attacks, she minimizes, she plays the victim, she does all of that to survive psychologically. But what an emotionally immature mother is going to do, like I was explaining, instead of apologizing to you, gaslighting. So that was what we were just talking about. That never happened. I would never say that. You're making things up to make me look bad. All of those things. But then she plays the victim. Oh, I guess I'm just a terrible mother then. Why do you always try to make me look bad? That type of thing. So then she becomes the victim. Or she will rewrite history to make herself the hero of the story, which, depending on the circumstance, whether that happens. So this isn't about you failing to explain yourself well enough. I want you to understand that. It's about her system that she has set up. Her system being structurally unable to metabolize accountability. That is what it is. No amount of explaining, no amount of trying is going to fix this. And when you understand this, this frees you from the waiting room. That waiting for something to happen, for something to change, for something to be better. Because accountability will never happen. And another key point, your healing cannot depend on it. Your healing cannot depend on an apology from your mom, and it cannot depend on her taking accountability. You can't wait for that because you will die trying. And it's important to start to understand that. That is the beginning of this healing process, is to be able to accept that this is the mother that I have. And I don't want to, I mean, hope is a beautiful thing, but hope in this situation is not going to help you. Hope that your mother will change. Hope that she will finally be the mother that you need. That is not going to help you. That is not going to get you anywhere. You need to be able to accept the mother that you have. And then you need to be able to move forward in your own healing process without an apology, without accountability, and without any change from her or understanding or anything else. And this is where a lot of women get stuck. Not everybody does, but a lot of women do get stuck here because they really want to feel that understanding from their mom. They really want that relationship, and it just isn't going to happen. And it will keep you in that waiting room forever. So let's move on to talking about being in that waiting room, waiting for that mom that you've always wanted, the emotional toll of doing that. So knowing deep down that she'll never apologize isn't going to stop you from hoping for it. And this is another thing that I told you. I stayed in a one-sided relationship with my mom for decades, not really fully understanding the toll that it was taking on me until one major blow happened. But that hope that she will apologize, that she may change, that something might get better, that any of that can be one of the most painful prisons that a daughter lives in. I want you to think about that. The fantasy of one day she'll understand me, or one day she'll apologize, or even just you saying, I need her to take accountability for this. It's not going to happen. You imagine the day that she finally listens to you, cares about your life, cares about what's going on with you, understands and says, I'm sorry, I see how much I hurt you. That fantasy keeps you tethered because the child inside of you still longs for validation, for repair, for a mother who can finally meet you with empathy. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that, but the important thing is that you recognize that it's just not going to be reality, though. When you keep waiting, you keep yourself in a relationship with the fantasy version you want, not the mother that you have. And that's where the pain comes from. This is the truth that hurts. That we as daughters of emotionally immature mothers live in a fantasy version or try to live with a fantasy version of the mother we wish we had instead of the one we actually have, which causes the cycle of disappointment. Every time you let yourself hope, and you know what? There may be times where she softens, when she acts kind, when you have a good time with your mom, when she gives you a crumb of what it would feel like to have a normal relationship, and you think, maybe she'll change, maybe it will be different. I know I had this many times, but a lot of times it was when I was doing something that my mom enjoyed, and I was just letting her, we would go to the restaurant she wants to go to, we would do the things that she wanted to do, and whenever I was in that space, she was fine, and she was in her element, but what I didn't realize was none of it was about, I mean, I just had to give up anything that I liked or wanted. But if I was living in her world, it felt close. It felt normal. I just didn't realize that there was never any care or concern for me in any of this. But then what happens is that kind of calm moment that you had, it will always flip back into the condescending tone, the neglect, the gaslighting or criticism or whatever else that she generally does. The manipulation comes back, the guilt tripping, whatever it is, and the cycle repeats. Hope, disappointment, grief, rinse, and repeat. And I'm sure you recognize this if you look back and like, oh, yeah, there were times that when it was good, when I did have a good time with my mom. But at the end of the day, I recognized that when I needed something, when I had a surgery, when, you know, I was having a really difficult time in life, she doesn't show up. She starts to criticize. Or you had major success in your life and she can't handle it. And so she's criticizing you or whatever. But it's not just painful to be in this cycle. It just re-traumatizes you. It brings back all the pain of childhood. It just isn't healthy. And that hope that we carry is tied to the conditioning that says, if I just give her another chance, maybe she'll change. If I'm patient, maybe she'll come around. If I explain well enough, maybe she will finally understand. If I wait long enough, she'll finally see me. She'll finally value me or apologize. This is the good daughter condition, and it's a trap. Because what happens is, in society, not being in full contact with your mom is very much looked down upon. You are looked as the one as unforgiving. You are looked at as the one who is giving silent treatment or all of that. And it keeps you performing and pleasing and waiting when in reality, she's never going to show up any differently. And when you wait for this, trying to be the good daughter, trying to just hang in there, it drains your energy. It depletes you emotionally. It keeps you trapped and it deepens your grief over and over and over again. It keeps you emotionally entangled with your mother, even if you are physically distant. Because if there is contact, there is going to be difficult things that you have to deal with. And I'm not telling you that no contact is the answer. I want to be clear here. But what I want to say is if there is contact, there needs to be tools in place that you protect your energy and yourself. So it isn't about no contact, but it's about knowing how to navigate the relationship. But when you don't have those tools, it will delay your healing. Because if your focus is still on her change, like her changing, her showing up differently, you're not free. You're waiting on someone else. Freedom is when it's all inside of you. And that's where the tools come from. When all of it is within you and you're not relying on her for anything. You recognize her for what she is and choose accordingly. Waiting for an apology from an emotionally immature mom is like trying to find water in the desert. The more you wait, the more dehydrated you become. Healing begins when you stop waiting for her to do what she cannot do and start giving yourself the validation she never could. So, the next part, this is huge. This is huge in the healing. One of the most painful steps in healing from a narcissistic or emotionally immature mother is releasing the fantasy. The fantasy that she'll wake up one day and apologize or become the mother that you always needed. The key is accepting of the fact that she is incapable of this. And then this will allow you to move forward and heal. And the point of it is you must create your own closure. This is key. And this can work in a variety of situations, not just with an emotionally immature mom. You have to understand that closure cannot and will not come from her. It comes from you. You are the one that will have to process the years of narcissistic abuse or neglect or whatever you experienced and give yourself the love, compassion, and care that she never could. That's the key. The key is you give yourself the love, the compassion that you were not given. And when you realize that you are the only one that can reliably give these things to you, no one outside of you, don't seek validation outside of you. You do not need apologies, accountability, anything to process, to heal, to give yourself the tools that you need, and then to move forward in your own life and make your own decisions. It's time to release the fantasy. And in order to heal in this situation with an emotionally immature mom, you have to release two fantasy illusions. Number one is the fantasy of an apology, which obviously will never come. And number two is the fantasy version of the mother you hoped she would be. And those are two things that you're going to have to let go of in order to move forward on a healing journey. This does not dismiss your pain. I want to be very clear about that. But it means grieving the reality. There is a grieving of the loss of the mother that you needed but didn't have. Allow yourself to mourn the mother that you needed, to mourn all of that. It is a loss. Let yourself feel the sadness, the anger, and the emptiness that comes with this loss. Allow yourself to feel it. No shame, no guilt. You deserve to feel this. Grief is not weakness. It is the doorway to freedom. Then we want to look at the inner child that experienced all of this. Your inner child is still waiting to hear words she never heard. And I want to tell you what those words are. And I'm going to give a pause because I want you to let these land. Pause this podcast. Go get yourself a paper and a pen. Pull out your phone, whatever you need to do, and write these down. And I want you to say these to yourself until you can really feel them, embody them, and believe them. The words that that little girl needed to hear: you matter. You are lovable. You are worthy. I love you. I'm sorry that I hurt you. And you are safe. Those are the words that that little girl needs to hear. And you need to be the one to tell her. Because your mom never will. But you can. Your mom can't say them. But give those words to yourself. So I'm going to give you a couple challenges. You can write these words. You can say them out loud to yourself. You can write a letter to your younger self. Speak to her in the way that she deserved to be spoken to. Let it out. Say the words that she needed to hear. Tell her that she was never too much. That she was never unlovable. That she was never the problem. this is how you start to reparent yourself, and this is where you start inner child healing. This is something I do with my clients, depending on their needs, but we definitely do some of this inner child work, because this is where the real healing comes from, is when you're able to believe these things about yourself. So that one's a heavy one, but it's so beautiful and it is so powerful. Also, journaling can be really powerful for closure. So I'm going to give you another exercise for this as well. You can do any of these that resonate with you, but write the apology that you always wished your mother would give you in a journal. Put every word you need to hear down. And this may take a while. And this is just a way for you to, instead of waiting for her to give you something she isn't capable of giving, give it to yourself. And then read it back to yourself and claim it as yours. Let your nervous system feel the validation that you've been denied. Let yourself feel that apology and know that you deserve it. You deserve that apology. And just because your mother is incapable of giving it to you doesn't mean you don't deserve to hear those words. So give it to yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. And then I want to talk about a few somatic practices for grief release. Trauma lives in the body. Emotion is energy in motion. It needs to move. This is absolute truth. So when we hold emotion down, oftentimes it gets stored in our body. We tense up our shoulders. We clench our jaw. In order to fully embody closure, you need to address this stuck energy. You can use gentle breath work to release the tension. Like a 4-7-8 breath, which would be four counts in, hold for seven, and then exhale for eight. That may be too intense. I know some people have some trauma around holding breath. So if that's a thing for you, then you can just do four counts in, four counts out, or however many you can get, and just keep it rhythmic. That will also work if holding your breath is an issue for you. Another thing I like to do is do grounding practices, like standing barefoot on the earth and then anchor with your senses. Feel the grass on your feet. Listen to the birds chirping. Feel wind on your face. Just start using your senses as you're grounding yourself, which can be help you just ground in the present moment. Crying. Allow tears to flow if they need to without shame. Let your body discharge that grief. If you need to cry, let it come. There is no shame in that. Another thing that I like to do that really helps me when I'm feeling really intense, anxious energy is I kind of jump a little, bounce. Not full jumps, but I let my arms and my hands just fling and shake and bounce and just shake everything out. That really moves a lot of energy. So that's another thing I like to do. And there are many practices that you can do. You can find some online if these don't resonate with you. But these practices help your body release that emotional stagnant energy. The other thing that I'm obviously going to talk about, because I am a hypnotherapist, is hypnotherapy for reprogramming. And so much of that belief that you hold on to that you can't heal without her apology lives in the subconscious mind. And this is where hypnotherapy comes into play. It rewires the guilt and shame loops, separates your mother's voice from your own so you don't have that inner bully from your mom, replacing the need for validation from her with the realization that you can validate yourself. And when we make these subconscious shifts, your nervous system learns that closure isn't something that she gives you, it's something that you give yourself. And healing begins the moment you stop waiting for that apology, when you stop waiting for that change and start giving yourself the compassion and validation that you always deserved. So, one of the things that I want to let you know about, I do offer hypnotherapy and coaching to help either rewire a lot of that subconscious programming that you have. I do a combination, and it really just depends on your needs or what you feel like you would like to do. But also, I have created the Daughters Rising Inner Circle. This is a transformational year-long program designed to support women healing from the aftermath of being raised by an emotionally immature or narcissistic mother. And inside, we have weekly live seminars, we have group coaching sessions, we have a private online community where you can connect with other women that are on the same path as you. Every member is placed into a sister circle of 8 to 10 women for ongoing encouragement and accountability support. So you're never walking through this alone. You can talk to somebody and say, oh, I went low contact with my mom. She's going crazy. The flying monkeys are calling me, whatever situation it is that you're in. The program also includes a full 12-month course, video lessons, guided journals, PDFs, healing practices that address every layer of recovery. And unfortunately, the inner circle is currently full, but the waitlist is open. And there will be a limited number of spots that will be opening up soon. So if you want, go to the website and sign up for the waitlist, and you'll be notified as soon as enrollment is open. So it is themotherwoundproject.com. So go there and sign up for the waitlist. That is going to be amazing. It's just a great healing space. And another thing that I would say is finding safe friendships, building relationships with others where apologies and accountability do exist. A friendship where someone values you, shows up for you, supports you. That could be a partner, friends, whatever that is, but make sure that you are surrounded by that. And I want to give you one final thought here. Her silence is not your prison. You choose your healing and to move forward. So we've walked through the painful truth today that she's not going to change or apologize, but also that you don't need it. And her inability to take accountability is not your burden to carry, and it doesn't have to keep you stuck in cycles of waiting, hoping, and hurting. Because your healing does not depend on her words, and your closure is yours to create. So also, before we go, I'd want to let you know that you can go to my website and take the free Mother Wound Archetype Quiz. That does come with a little ebook that starts the healing journey. That is all free. You can do that. And I also have the Mother Wound Healing Starter Kit. It's $17. It is a great way to start breaking the cycle. There is a little hypnotherapy session that's included in that as well that is phenomenal and very helpful. So while you're waiting for the inner circle or whatever, you can definitely start with those things. Or we can start with hypnotherapy and coaching sessions. But I would love to help you on this journey and be a part of your journey, because I know how difficult it can be to navigate alone. So all the links will be in the show notes, or you can go to the website, themotherwoundproject.com. So I appreciate you being here with me, and I will see you next time.